This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Now here's your host, the guru himself, John Hansen.
Good afternoon and welcome to a Friday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. I'm John Hansen of FantasyPoints.com. The program, as always, is being produced by Mr. Michael Cohen. And a big Friday program. We'll recap Thursday night football. We'll talk college football with our guy Ben Stevens from VSiN right here, our college football guy. And then week 8 DFS with our guy Jake Tribby and my propage for Sunday's action. I also have 5 touchdown props, all tight ends, to celebrate National Tight End Week. Well, we got off to a very, very bad start last night, and it didn't go well as the LA Chargers kicked the living crap out of Carson Wentz and the Minnesota Vikings 37-10. I will say this at the very top. Sometimes you do get caught up in a time crunch in terms of injuries and all that. Had I known that Christian Darrisaw would only play 8 snaps and Brian O'Neill would be inactive, things would have been a little bit different, but that was the case. Darrisaw is an absolute stud, and I believe he only played 8 snaps. And of course, in a kind of a must win, I thought Brian O'Neill, the dude was limited all week, like Aaron Jones. I thought he'd give it a go, but no. And the pressure, it's just like you throw out all the analysis. We had the analysis. It was decent analysis, but you throw it out when you're absolutely up against a buzzsaw with horrific protection. So it was just a crash and burn situation. But I will say, at the very, very least, I do prioritize these props. We only had one damn winner last night, and it was, in fact, the first one we listed at 55.5, Mr. Ladd McConkey. So thank you, Mr. Ladd, despite that ugly drop that I thought was going to lose the prop. But then we went Hockenson, 34.5. I do believe if we have just mediocre protection, just mediocre, we would have hit both Hockenson props, quite frankly, I do believe. Maybe even the Wentz prop. I did kind of mention in the Jordan Mason prop, that's why I buried it. I pretty much said don't even play it because, you know, it's tricky with Aaron Jones and all that. Obviously, that was horrific. I will absolutely take an L on that. But the fact that they didn't have their starting tackles in a game on a short week really threw a monkey wrench into the hashtag analysis. The analysis was really all about them playing from behind, which absolutely was the case. I did not venture into the Kamani Vidal waters because that's just a personal thing with me. I did say here yesterday he'll probably get it done. Obviously, he did in a game where they were in complete control. I just have a trouble with these low-end guys who are a little week to week. To my point, Kamani Vidal last week had like 20 yards rushing, but they have their guy for now. I didn't venture into the Aronde Gadsden waters, but hey, it's not me. It's not just me. Our guy Brett Whitefield on Wednesday absolutely nailed it on every front. He went 3 for 3. It was incredible. I mean, this guy, once again, I'm not used to seeing this. I've been doing this for 30 years. I'm not used to rookie tight ends doing nothing for a month and then being the best fantasy tight end in the league out of nowhere. I'm not used to that, but now I know. But here I will say this. Thank God Ladd McConkey got it done. I mean, I thought it would be a Ladd McConkey game. That's why I didn't really venture into the Gadsden waters. That was another reason, but it's going to be a struggle bus to differentiate these receivers. Quentin Johnson doesn't even get a darn target. So he falls under. So not a great day, but I will say this, you would think I'd be in a horrible mood, but I'm actually not, because the last couple of weeks, I actually haven't really liked the board, quite frankly, and we've been a little suspect, even though, again, we're doing well with the first picks. For example, by the way, Monday had a bad day too, but the first pick was Dalton Schultz, I believe the week before, and Thursday night, I believe it was Noah Fant. So we're doing pretty well with that. We are 7-0 on our best bets, and I absolutely feel wonderful about the picks that I'm popping out. Absolutely. So we shall see what we see. I am even Steven, by the way. My name's not Steven, but I am even Steven. things go way down, they'll go way up. If they're way up, they'll go way down. They're way down now, and I'm feeling a big up week here. But let's get into the news and notes coming down the line here on a Friday. Lamar Jackson practicing for the third straight day. He's going to play. I'm not making an official announcement. I have no say in the matter, but I'm telling you he's going to play, and the Ravens are going to crush. I was looking at a Zay Flowers prop. I like Zay Flowers. We are in on something Mark Andrews related, and we're already in on Derrick Henry. I do have thoughts on Derrick Henry when we get to that segment. Kevin O'Connell said that, back to the Vikings, unfortunately, if J.J. McCarthy is healthy, J.J. will play in week 9 against the Lions. You think? Poor Carson Wentz out there. I mean, my man was bawling in a bad way at the end of the game. I mean, dude is just getting the living crap beaten out of him. So it's J.J.'s time. And I think the Vikings, hey, just take L's the rest of the year. Just go, just play J.J. McCarthy. We'll take the L's. We'll suck it up. Hey, I've been waiting a half a century, so I think I can wait another year. I'm not giving up on J.J. McCarthy, but he obviously needs reps, and he needs to start getting them now because this team is built to win now. That's why I was very high on them. They're not going to win this year because they're going to lose to Detroit this week probably and Baltimore, but we got to get this guy out there. Nick Sirianni in Philadelphia did not give an update on A.J. Brown dealing with a hamstring. Always very, very tricky. We did win that Brown prop a couple of weeks ago in that matchup. I will say, though, if definitely looks like Brown's going to be a little iffy. I would lean toward a Devontae Smith prop for sure. I'm very picky with my props this week for obvious reasons. So I didn't go there because it's the Eagles and they're not great, but very good matchup here. The Giants have allowed the fourth most fantasy points per game to slot wide receivers. And that's where Skinny Batman is 64% of his routes from the slot. And I'll give a shout out to Zach Swales, one of our data charters over at Fantasy Points Data. He believes that the deployment of Devontae Smith this year has been much more creative than A.J. Brown. So I do like me some Devontae Smith this week. Jet head coach Aaron Glenn said that Garrett Wilson and Sauce Gardner will not play this week against the Bengals. Certainly good news for Bro Flacco in a revenge game, mind you, against the Jets. And I think it's a low-key revenge game for Flacco because, you know, they did not treat Joe well, basically. I do believe that one year he was with the Jets, they kind of discarded him. Like, yeah, we're good. And I think they went to Zach Wilson. They were not good. And meanwhile, Flacco is, you know, one of the better passers in the league this year. It's kind of crazy. But we will see about Aaron Glenn whether or not he plays man coverage without Sauce Gardner. I think he probably will just because that's in his DNA, and that would be good for T. Higgins. But if they don't, it'll be good for Jamar Chase. But it probably doesn't matter because Joe Flacco targeting these wide receivers at a 60% clip, the two wide receivers, which is absurd to have basically two wideouts with a 30% catch rate. So we are looking pretty good there. In Big D, Trayvon Diggs, he's in the protocol. So who knows? But I am feeling pretty good about Courtland Sutton and Bo Nix regardless up against these Cowboys, obviously. Now, that's another man zone thing because they're now playing more man. And I think we hypothesize that the zone is just not working. The players are not on the same page. Guys are running wide open. You're giving up big plays playing zone. That's bad. So they're playing more man, which bodes incredibly well for Mr. Bo Nix and Mr. Courtland Sutton. We'll get into that. The Bills have ruled out Josh Palmer, notably. Good news for their other weapons, of course, Khalil Shakir and, of course, Dalton Kincaid. Not that we're going to look at Keon Coleman as an option, just can't do it because he's just not that good, and he doesn't get open against zone coverage, quite frankly. The Panthers listed Bryce Young as doubtful for week number 8, which I think is probably a good thing. They will, though, look to run the ball. Problem is, because the Bills run defense, as we've outlined, the problem is you do have that two-headed monster there with Rico Dowdle and, of course, Chuba Hubbard. But I do feel pretty good overall about maybe a Tet McMillan. Not that we're starting Xavier Legette with any confidence whatsoever, but there that was a thing last week, Xavier Legette and Mr. Andy Dalton. I do believe we are all caught up on the news trickling down, trickling out. A little bit of a tricky time here at 1 Eastern, which is kind of when we start getting all the news. I do see one other note here. Shane Steichen said that Josh Downs has cleared the concussion protocol and will play in Week 8. I don't know if we use the Colt receivers. They might be calling off the dogs early in that one. We'll talk college football on the other side, but first, the sports equinox is here when all four major sports are in action at the same time. Celebrate the best time of the year for bettors with the VSiN Sports Equinox Special. Sign up now and get full VSiN Pro access to everything we do through May 1st for only $1.20. That's less than $20 a month. You'll get daily best bets from hosts and guests. DraftKings, Circa Betting, Splits, updated every 5 minutes. AI-driven prop projections and matchup tools, 24/7 live and on-demand video on the VSiN Watch app. Plus, exclusive coverage for the World Series football season, NBA, NHL regular seasons, March Madness, and the NFL Draft. Don't wait. Limited time offer won't last. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe today. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. We'll talk college football with Ben Stevens next here on Prop Points.
Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Friday edition of Prop Points continues right now. Thanks for tuning in. We're going to go to the Progressive Guest Line. Ben Stevens is the co-host of Live Bet Saturday right here on VSiN. And he is on the X machine at Ben Scott Stevens. Ready for another week of college football. Ben, how you doing?
I'm doing well, John. Thank you so much, as always, for having me here on this Friday. Final full Saturday, final full weekend of October in the college football season. When November beckons, that means we get our first look at college football playoff rankings. Everything has an extra layer of importance, shall we say, as we enter week 9 here in college football.
Well, let's get into it. You have first and foremost Luke Altmyer of Illinois at 227 plus pass yards. I'm looking into the dude. He's got a 73% completion rate this year, so that's pretty good. 68.2% up against Ohio State last week at 248, and that's not too shabby either. So what do you see here with Altmyer?
John, throwing for 100 yards against Ohio State, let alone 200, let alone 248. Right. The Buckeyes may be the best defense we have seen in college football in the last three decades is incredibly important. It is what Luke Altmyer has done so well this year for the Illini. The third-year starting quarterback in Champaign continues to deliver. And in a tough spot, but following a bye, tomorrow afternoon in Seattle against Washington, when we talk about the extra layer of importance in this final Saturday of October, two teams here, John, that are 5-2, trying to separate themselves from the pack, so to say, in the Big Ten Conference and keep any high hopes for postseason implications very much in line. Washington's defense the last 2 weeks. Last week in Ann Arbor, allowing Bryce Underwood, the dazzling freshman, to throw for 230. The Friday night prior in Seattle, Ethan Kaliak-Manis, the Rutgers quarterback, 386 passing yards. And for all the reasons you highlighted for Altmyer, in five games for the Illini this year against Power Conference competition, Altmyer has gone over this number or through this number of 227 plus in four of five. He is averaging 282 yards in those five games against Power Conference competition. In the four times he has got to 227, it's not just 228 or 230. It's been at least 248. I think Luke Altmyer delivers in what is a critical game tomorrow in Husky Stadium.
Cool name here, Bear Bachmeyer. I believe I pronounced that correctly, of BYU. Yep. I'm looking into this guy preparing for the show, and I'm like, this dude runs half as much as he throws. He is a quarterback. He's got between 11 and 21 carries in four straight games. You like over 54 rushing yards.
Yeah, and John, in all four of those games against conference mates within the Big 12, Bear Bachmeyer, the freshman quarterback for the Cougars, who wears number 47. An anomaly at the quarterback position alongside his running mate in the backfield and L.J. Morton, BYU has emerged as one of the best rushing teams in all of the Big 12. As you alluded to, at least 11 carries in all four Big 12 games for BYU, off to a perfect 7-0 start for a second consecutive season for the first time in program history. And against Iowa State tomorrow in Jack Trice in Ames, this is a Cyclones defense that has allowed their fair share of yardage on the ground, giving up more than 141 rushing yards per game so far this year. A few weeks ago in the loss to Cincinnati, we saw that mobile quarterback in Brendan Sorsby in the Bearcats rushing attack go for 260 against this Iowa State defense. Bear Bachmeyer has the volume. He has had 64-plus rushing yards in three of the four in Big 12 play, including each of the previous 2 weeks. Bear Bachmeyer, 54-plus rushing yards against Iowa State in a key, John, unlike in the National Football League. If you are sacked as a quarterback, it is detracted from your rushing yardage total. BYU has only allowed a total of 3 sacks in those four Big 12 games this season.
Got it. Good stuff there. Ben Stevens, co-host of Live Bet Saturday here on VSiN, on the line with us. And you've got Mark Gronowski. Dude's going to go on Wheel of Fortune and buy a consonant, a K. But no K. Mark Gronowski, you have, and it's a big one here, plus 340, first touchdown scored. I saw he got crossed the stripe twice, right, against Penn State last week. 9 carries for a buck 30.
He is the new starting quarterback in Iowa City, the South Dakota State transfer who has utilized his athleticism very well in this Iowa offense under Tim Lester this year. 7 games as the Hawkeyes starting quarterback. Mark Gronowski has scored a rushing touchdown in all 7. 10 total this year, John. 1 away from the Iowa program record for the most rushing touchdowns in a single season by a quarterback in program history. That would match Wilburn Hollis. If he gets to 11, Hollis set the record in 9 games back in 1960. So Mark Gronowski tomorrow, battling for the bronze pig, the Floyd of Rosedale trophy. He's a minus 180 price, best number on the board to hit Pater, anytime touchdown. I thought let's have some fun with a first touchdown score at plus 340, because I think that Iowa knows he has his sights set on history, and I do think Iowa's rushing attack will be a big way for the Hawkeyes if they are going to emerge with a rivalry victory against the Golden Gophers. So Mark Gronowski, first touchdown score, plus 340. If you want to lay the juice at minus 180 to just hit pay dirt, don't mind that confidence as well.
Got a couple of total picks here as well with Ben Stevens, number 8 Ole Miss, at number 13, Oklahoma. I see both teams are 6-1, and Lane Kiffin continues to post photos of himself with attractive people on social media. So what do you have here on this one?
There's a thought that Lane Kiffin might be leaving Oxford, but John, from his social media accounts, you can see that he is enjoying his time there down near the Grove. Really critical game for two teams that have suffered their first loss this season in the last 2 weeks. Oklahoma in the rivalry against Texas, Ole Miss last week on the road in Athens against Georgia between the hedges. I think Oklahoma wins, but you see the spread now at 5.5 in favor of OU in Norman. That was 3.5 earlier this week. I think you have missed the best of a number in what I expect to be a one-possession game. But if I think the Sooners win, it's because of the dominant defense under Brent Venables. That's why I go under the total of 53.5, now working its way down to 52 and a hook. It's one of the spots, John, that I like. Not just backing it up with the numbers, Oklahoma 28 sacks this year, second-best scoring defense in all of college football, allowing fewer than 10 points per game. But the public sees Ole Miss in that Lane Kiffin offense orchestrated by Trinidad Chambliss. They are all over the over. And yet where it was earlier this week at 54.5 has now dropped by 2 spots to 52 in a hook. I got in yesterday afternoon at 53.5. I still think scoring is at a premium tomorrow in Norman when Oklahoma wins the football game against Ole Miss.
And finally, you love your rivalry games. You've got, oh, wow, I thought that was a misprint. Number 25, Michigan, at Michigan State, unranked, over 46.5. you know, I see Michigan has done pretty well in this matchup, over 60% winning percentage. I'm going to ask you too. You can talk about it, but just for my own edification, which of these two clubs have produced more skill players in the NFL? Because I think it might be close to Michigan State. But your thoughts first and foremost on the over 46.5.
Yeah, Michigan State, certainly, John, a proud football program in East Lansing. It's part of the handicap for this matchup. When you think of MSU, you probably first and foremost think of basketball, led by the icon in Tom Izzo. But under Mark D'Antonio, Michigan State won 10 of 14 against the Maize and Blue prior to the Wolverines going on this three-game win streak for the Paul Bunyan Trophy. Michigan, of course, has produced a tremendous amount of NFL talent. Some of that, though, along the offensive and then defensive sides of the football, that O-line spot. The reason I like the total tomorrow in East Lansing in a primetime game, most of the public on the under, total has worked its way back up a little bit. Michigan State, the worst scoring defense in the Big Ten. In the four Big Ten games for the Spartans this year, they have allowed at least 38 points to their opponents. I think Michigan will have some success moving the football on the ground with the return of Justice Haynes, and who was spectacular last week in Jordan Marshall, Michigan's backup running back. But I am also trusting Sparty to have some success throwing the football, led by their quarterback in Aiden Childs, because, John, if it's a bad result tomorrow inside Spartan Stadium in this bitter rivalry against Michigan, albeit only year two for head coach in East Lansing, Jonathan Smith, I do think there will be some very serious conversations about his job status come Sunday morning.
And to bring this all full circle, two of the most notable former Michigan State football players in the MLB world, of course, Kirk Gibson and Steve Garvey for the Los Angeles Dodgers, as we transition there to probably LA in six, but thank you very much, Ben, for the information, and everyone tune in to Ben co-hosting Live Bet Saturday right here on VSiN, and follow Ben on the X machine at Ben Scott Stevens, and we'll talk to you next week. And before we take the break, first, VSiN Pro subscribers now have exclusive access to our new AI player prop projections powered by Opta AI, the same trusted brand behind elite soccer analytics in the UK. Check both versions out today. The NBA season stuff, VSiN offering a free limited time preview to the NBA player prop projections at VSiN.com/NBA props. And we'll talk DFS next.
You're watching Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Friday edition of Prop Points continues right now on VSiN. I'm John Hansen of FantasyPoints.com. And from the aforementioned website, we go to the Progressive Guest Line. Jake Tribby is your 2022 Fantasy Sports Writers Association Football Writer of the Year, NFL, DFS, UFL analyst over at Fantasy Points on the X machine at Jake Tribby. What is up, Jake? I see you are very excited about the Baltimore Ravens. How are you?
Doing really well. Yeah, absolutely excited about the Ravens this week. All of these guys are very underpriced, so excited to talk some DFS here.
So let's talk Lamar, 6,800. Don't know if it's official yet, but it's happening. Like, he's starting. We all know this. It's a 99.9% chance. So what do you see here? Because you do also have Zay Flowers, which I do love that Zay Flowers one. People have short memories. They may not remember that in three of the four games of Lamar, Zay's got like, what, seven grabs for like 70-plus in all three games.
Yeah, exactly. And like I said, you know, all of these Ravens players are just ridiculously underpriced. It really seems like DraftKings wasn't quite ready for Lamar Jackson to come back this week, because in a normal week, we'd see probably every single of the major Ravens players between Lamar, Derrick Henry, Zay Flowers, at least 1,000 more expensive. And specifically with Lamar Jackson, I mean, I've been waiting weeks for this moment. Across his three full games this season, he's averaged 27.6 fantasy points per game. That would lead all quarterbacks by almost 3 fantasy points per game. Last year, he averaged almost 26 fantasy points per game. that would also have led all quarterbacks by about 3 fantasy points per game. And last season, the Ravens ranked 3rd best in point differential. This year, they ranked 6th worst by point differential, also dead last in points per game allowed. So what does all this mean? Basically, Lamar Jackson could be on the highest end of the 2024 Joe Burrow, 2025 Dak Prescott spectrum, where because the defense is so bad and because Derrick Henry is so easily scripted out of games, I mean, Derrick Henry obviously notorious for not having a pass catching role, the Ravens are going to be forced to drop back as much as possible. And that should go a very long way for a player in Lamar Jackson, who not only led all quarterbacks in fantasy points per dropback last season, but he was 50% more efficient than Joe Burrow, who is last year's QB3. Wow. This is also an incredible price for Jackson. Like I outlined for all these Ravens players, Lamar is the cheapest he's been since week 13 of the 2020 season over on DraftKings at just 6,800. Also draws a Bears defense, giving up the 7th most fantasy points per game to quarterbacks on top of a great game environment. There's a 49.5 total here. It's the 2nd highest on the main slate for DFS. So, you know, barring any news that he's going to be severely limited by this hamstring, and, you know, realistically, if he was, they probably weren't going to play him. This is just a fantastic spot for Lamar Jackson, and I'm really excited about the Ravens in general.
Am I the only one who cares about Patrick Ricard, by the way? Because he's been out since like week 2 or 3. I see full practice, though. I mean, that can't hurt getting your fullback back there, at least for Derrick Henry, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, Derrick Henry is another guy who's available at a historically cheap price tag. He's the cheapest he's been since week 9 of 2019. And like I said, that's just the theme with the Ravens. They're severely underpriced. It didn't feel like DraftKings was prepared, at least in terms of this week's pricing, for Lamar Jackson to come back. And, you know, Henry's a guy who we were a little light earlier in the week on the projection, but we've bumped him up to about 6 yards historically averaged with Lamar Jackson. Bears defense isn't particularly great. And, you know, if Derrick Henry was 8,000 in a spot where the Ravens were favored by 6.5 points, we'd still be clamoring to play him. And he's not. He's only 6K this week over on DraftKings.
Jake Tribby of fantasypoints.com on the line with us on the X Machine at Jake Tribby. And Bijan Robinson, 8,800. Obviously, very good matchup against Miami, though they actually were decent against Quinshon Judkins last week, but maybe that was a weather thing. But Bijan, I mean, he could put up 100 in the passing attack at the drop of a hat. What do you see here with Robinson?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, so among the 37 players with at least 50 rushing attempts, Bijan Robinson ranks 2nd in yards per carry, 2nd in missed tackles forced per attempt, 2nd in yards after contact per attempt, and 3rd behind only Jonathan Taylor and Christian McCaffrey in fantasy points per game. He's like you outlined, John, he's crushing through the air and on the ground. There are only 3 players ever to average at least 65 rushing yards per game and at least 65 receiving yards per game in the same season. One was Marshall Faulk in 1999. The other 2 are Bijan Robinson and Christian McCaffrey this season. Plus, wow, he gets a picture-perfect matchup against Miami's bottom 3 rush defense as a 7.5-point favorite. I think one of the interesting – I mean, obviously, Bijan Robinson is going to be very, very popular this week. I think one of the interesting angles, and this was something you and me talked about a little bit during the break, is you can actually play him with Tyler Algier this week because, you know, Tyler Algier tends to dominate the 4th quarter carries in these games where Atlanta gets way ahead. And, you know, Atlanta's defense has been great. Miami's offense has been terrible. And, you know, this is a spot where I wouldn't be shocked if they get up huge and they want to rest Bijan a little bit heading into the 4th quarter. Tyler Algier, by the way, only 4,800 on DraftKings this week.
Spoiler alert, I did say that I felt really good about the pickage, the propage, and Tyler Algier is one of them. So stay tuned. So we'll get to that on the other side. But real quick, we have spent a lot on the Ravens, but any other thoughts on Zay Flowers, who, again, this guy looks like pretty good schematic. I mean, he's kind of the guy, and you did articulate that maybe we come out, we throw a little bit, and then run it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, part of the argument for Zay Flowers is whenever the Ravens have gotten into these shootouts, and like I outlined with Lamar Jackson, their defense is terrible this season. Whenever the Ravens have gotten into these shootouts, right, Zay Flowers has generally been the biggest beneficiary. He's absolutely smashed in these games that exceed their total. And, you know, just overall, he's the wide receiver 6 by target share, the wide receiver 13 by DraftKings fantasy points per game in his three games with a healthy Lamar Jackson. Yet he's priced as the wide receiver 20 with Lamar Jackson back in the lineup. Obviously, the game environment is fantastic. I think, you know, if you wanted to outline a way that Zay Flowers fails, it's because of the Chicago offense fails. So if I'm stacking up like Caleb Williams or the Chicago side of this game, I want Zay Flowers on basically all of those lineups. Because if Chicago really can't get going here, this is probably more of a Derrick Henry game, who, again, John, like we talked about, is also another one of the Ravens who's just ridiculously cheap.
We're probably going to get Kyler Gordon back. But by the way, Zay Flowers was dealing with a shoulder in his last game. Full practice this week, so we're probably good to go. And last on your list is big name, believe the founder of National Tight End Week, Georgie Kittle. Not the best matchup, but it's not just about the player and the matchup. It's also the cost, and you love this cost here. This is pretty low.
Yeah, this is really low, just 4,500. So, you know, last week Kittle was held catchless in his return to action. But before that, he scored 12 and a half fantasy points on only 12 routes prior to getting hurt. And before that, you know, the previous season, he was outscoring all other tight ends. He was putting up top five fantasy wide receiver numbers. And you know, this is sort of the theme of this week, John, historically cheap pricing. Kittle is the cheapest he's been since week four of 2018. So it's been 7 years since we've been able to play George Kittle at a price this nice. You know, there's maybe a little bit of risk here that the oft-injured Kittle, who is, again, returning from injury, is too badly banged up, and maybe they won't want to make him a focal point of this offense. But you're not going to find better upside relative to the price from anyone else this week. This is a very deep week at tight end, especially, you know, from Kittle's price and lower. But you know, for the most part, George Kittle is one of the handful of tight ends that you can really bank on an outlier type performance from, you know, 25, 30 DraftKings points. So really love George Kittle this week at just 4,500, even if the matchup doesn't pop on paper.
Did you see that stat that with George Kittle on the field, how much better Christian McCaffrey is, by the way? That was eye-opening. I'm not sure if you saw that, but it's like McCaffrey's at like 6 yards a carry on with George Kittle on the field. I don't know about last week, but maybe earlier on here. Great receiver, great player, great blocker, which always kind of worries me just a little bit. Never worried about taking Jake Tribby's advice. Follow him on the X machine at Jake Tribby. Good luck with all the plays, Jake, and we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, really appreciate you guys for having me on, and excited for another great week at DFS over at fantasypoints.com.
And I'm feeling very darn good about week number 8 in the National Football League. And when we return, we have I'm going to need to speak quickly because it is National Tight Ends Week, and not doing really well on the touchdown props this year, but we've hit a couple here and there. And this is right around the time of the year where things started heating up for this show, at least in terms of predicting tutties. So I have 5 tight end touchdown props, anytime touchdown props, along with a suite of, not 10, because that's bad luck, 9 props for your week 8 Sunday. And we'll hope to stay hot at 8-0 for the best bet. We'll pop that out on the other side as well in the final segment of this Friday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN.
You're watching Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Final segment on a Friday. Thank you for tuning in per usual. And we are about ready to pop out the propage. And we start with a special National Tight End Day 5 tight end prop suite, if you will. And we start with Dalton Kincaid at plus 220. And I will actually hold off on the analysis because we're also in on a Dalton Kincaid yardage prop, and we'll get to that in a moment. Mark Andrews, a.k.a. Mandrews. He is By the way, lining up, the Bears have been a slot funnel, and Mark Andrews lines up in the slot 62% of the time. They also do, the Bears allow the second most receptions per game, 7, and the 12th most receiving yards, 2 tight ends. Lamar will be looking for his boy in the end zone. But what else can we say? Cade Otton, he has not been rotten the last couple of weeks. Up against New Orleans, and you know he's kind of been a lot more active, obviously, with Ibuka and Godwin and Evans banged up. Led them last week in routes, receiving yards, and New Orleans is running a lot more cover three lately per our data. And Otton sees a 34% yard per route run against cover three compared to his overall efficiency. So I like this one. Plus 270, this is obviously a little bit of a long shot, but Juwan Johnson in that same game has actually done pretty well against Tampa last year. 3 for 48, 6 for 80, which those are probably two of his best games last year. The Bucs blitz at the sixth highest rate, and he actually is an answer to the blitz. Over 2 yards per route run up against the blitz. So I do think it's not the greatest matchup in terms of what they give up to tight ends, but I like Juwan Johnson to score. I mean, Olave is not a big touchdown guy in terms of in tight in the red zone, and neither is Rashid Shaheed. So if they are in tight, it's going to be Juwan Johnson time. And then I really wanted to go in on a Tucker Kraft prop, but I got burned the last time. He'll probably do it, but I'm getting in on something Tucker Kraft this week because I want to, because it's a great matchup. Steelers run fifth highest rate of man coverage. He averages 2.59 yards per route run against man. Pittsburgh also gives up the fifth most receiving yards, eighth most receptions. We got the Noah Fant stuff correct last week. So there it is. I think we can win. I think we can be profitable on those five. Obviously, we're not going to hit all five of them. But let's get into the heart of the matter. We do have the best bet at the end, but the second best bet, basically, is Derrick Henry. Now, we did officially get in on this on Wednesday, so that's why the number looks low, 75.5. But I will say that over at fantasypoints.com, I posted it this morning, and it's 90, I think 90. I'm still in at 90. And not for nothing, my top five props at fantasypoints.com are 66% over the last 6 weeks, 20 and 10. And we got the same ones here. So we're gonna be looking good with the top five props here because Derrick Henry is going to crush. The Bears have stopped the run the last two games. Maybe this is why the number's a little down. But no big whoop-de-doo, basically, is what I say. You stopped Kamara and Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt. They are 6.5-point home favorites. Derrick Henry, in their 12 wins last year, averaged 131 rushing yards per game with a touchdown. They're facing a Bear defense that's allowing the most adjusted yards before contact of any team. They're getting their fullback, Patty Ricard, back. Lamar's back. So I'm making the case here, like, even if it doesn't hit, not my bad, because the analysis is very tight. Next up, it will be Khalil Shakir. Now, this number may have been, actually, I just looked at it, wasn't, but it may go up a yard or two because Josh Palmer has just been ruled out. But it's an absolutely incredible schematic matchup for Khalil Shakir. The Panthers run the fifth highest rate of cover three, 40%. He's at 2.48 yards per route run. Excellent numbers. Since the start of last year, only 6 other receivers have been targeted more than Shakir against cover three. And his 2.60 yards per route run, that is the 16th best, and it represents a 24% boost to his yards per route run. He's got 4 receptions and 45 yards in 4 of his 6. He'll avoid stud corner J.C. Horn on the outside. And the Panthers give up a top 5 pass rate over expectation. And they rank near dead last in pressure rate over expectation or generated. And Josh Allen gets a 40% boost to his fantasy points per dropback when kept clean. So this puppy looks like a 6-catch game for Khalil Shakir. We go next to Courtland Sutton. Very doable number here, over 60.5. The game has the highest over under total on the board. These both of these teams rank top 10 in pass rate over expectation. And we should see a lot of plays and a lot of passing. Cowboys allowing the most schedule adjusted fantasy points per game to outside receivers. Sutton's one of the top guys out there, obviously. They have been man heavy since week two, playing it, or since week seven, starting last week, playing at 50% of the dropbacks, most likely because the secondary is in shambles. They can't handle the zone. Bo Nix crushes man, second best fantasy points per route run against man. Sutton averages 66% more yards per route run against man. His 3.08 yards per route run against man is top 12. And it looks like Trayvon Diggs is sketchy with the concussion. If it's Kaiir Elam, he has given up the fifth most fantasy points per route run among starting wide receivers. So I think I've made the case. Next up, it's T. Higgins at 54.5. Bengals have been at plus 7.8 pass rate over expectations, second highest in Joe Flacco's starts. The Jets, they are a little bit of a run funnel, but no Sauce Gardner. That will prompt them to throw a little bit more. They played man at a seventh highest rate in Aaron Glenn's defense. And when facing man, Flacco has targeted either Ja'Marr Chase or T. Higgins 60% of the time. They are 6.5-point favorites, but Flacco's actually averaged 39.7 pass attempts in games that he's favored in over the last 3 years. It is a revenge game against the Jets, who did him dirty. And T. Higgins sees a 41% boost to his targets per route run against man since last year. Moving on to Jordan Love, the Sunday night game. Love this one, 239.5. Now, he does not throw it a lot, but he's fifth in YPA and eighth in passer rating. They are three-point underdogs, so the game script should be in his favor. It's an Aaron Rodgers revenge game. Steelers run the fifth highest rate of man coverage. He averages a very strong 7.52 yards per route, or yards per attempt, sorry, against man coverage. They give up the most passing yards per game, 10th most passing tutties. And here's the bottom line. It is an excellent schematic matchup for him, Romeo Doubs, Matthew Golden, and Tucker Kraft, and Christian Watson, who may return. So we're getting to 240 here. Georgie Pickens in that game. In the other game that we talked about, Cortland Sutton, over 57.5. We're projecting Pat Surtain to have shadow coverage on CeeDee Lamb. So that means they'll see a lot of Riley Moss. He leads the Cowboys in everything against man coverage. He has hit 57 receiving yards in six straight games and a great schematic matchup against the man. Next up, Dalton Kincaid, also a beautiful matchup. His 3.78 yards per route run against cover three is sixth best among all receivers. And the Panthers don't rush the passer and give up a ton to tight ends. And then Kayshon Booty is the next to last one. We're going to get to 30 yards here. He averages a much improved 2.30 yards per route run against single high, which you'll see a lot. Drake May throws at a 12% rate deep against single high. He averages an insane 10 yards per attempt against single high. And Booty, longest reception, 39, 29, 19, 18, 20, 16, 24, has almost got to 50% of this prop. Stay tuned to VSiN after we sign off. It's Money Moves with Jonathan Von Tobel at 2 Eastern. But your best bet for week 8 is, in fact, Tyler Algier, over 39.5 yards. He has handled 62% of the backfield rushing attempts while leading in the fourth quarter over the past two seasons. In their wins this year, he's had 16 carries for 76, 16 carries for 51, 10 carries for 32. They give up 5.1 yards per carry on man and gap concept runs. So we're looking darn good to get to 40 yards for Tyler Algier. A little bit of a weird one, but it won't be weird if it hits. Thanks for tuning in. We will pay you back on Sunday for a bad Thursday. And we wish you the best of luck with the plays. And we'll catch you on Monday for another edition of Prop Points here on VSiN.